All right, easy here for my latest partner, ExpressVPN. You're like, what the hell is that? I'll get to that. Calm down. First of all, going online without ExpressVPN is like forgetting to mute yourself on a Zoom meeting. Do you really want all of your coworkers to hear you trash talking them? Okay, so that's kind of like helping me illustrate to you what's up. Why everybody needs a VPN. Okay, so everything you do online, the shows you watch, the websites you go to, anything you do online, that gets sent to your internet service provider, including your mobile network providers. They know every single website you visit. All right? Reroute 100% of your traffic to ExpressVPN through their secure encrypted servers so your ISP cannot see your browsing history. Privacy is really big to a lot of folks, so that's why this is very, very important. ExpressVPN is the best. They hide your IP address, making it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity. That's important for your old pal EZ because with my setup, I can't have any compromises. My internet is so important for doing what I do that if anything affects what I do, that's trouble. That's why I use ExpressVPN. Very easy to use. You just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. Works on all of your devices too, phones, laptops, tablets, more, so you can stay private on the go. I swear by this, and my life is so much easier now that the Eric Zane Show podcast is utilizing ExpressVPN. So what you need to do is protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/Zane. That's expressvpn.com/Zane. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/Zane.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Sorry. I'm so late. It's a huge embarrassment. I just got off the phone, and in fact, I was gonna. You heard that theme playing for quite a bit, because after our girl went public, I got to do my job. So I put a call in to one of West Michigan's top attorneys, Ross Plant, and said, hey, our girl went public. Do you have comment? And I left that message. And he called me right back. So while that was playing right now, that 2-3 minute Jimmy's theme there, I was actually on the phone with my man saying, yo, this just happened. He goes, what do you know? I go, well, now's not the time. Let me call you back when I finish this shit. Because word trickled down to your old pal EZ that Kelly Cheese has been, she went public with the whole divorce thing. Kenny says, oh, I'm lost. Relax. Hey, I'll fill in the blanks. As you know, the most talented member on that show, in fact, the person with only talent, in my opinion, is Kelly Cheese. So let's get the good out of the way. The woman needs her own show. She is like on fucking fire. I've always felt that way about her. Despite the fact that she has a disability with her crispy R's and weirdo noises that fly out of her face from time to time. I've been all about saying she is not afraid to say the things that are interesting. Now, when she does that, that doesn't necessarily mean that the twins are going to do anything with it. But, you know, despite her life being in turmoil, she's continued to perform at a very high level, in my opinion. I've said that from the get-go, from the jump. Then months ago, I remember it was Rebecca, the multi-talented Rebecca here enjoying the show. She made the comment, I think something's going on with Kelly. I'm like, what? Huh? What are you talking about? And as you know, I am all things FBHW. I love following the drama of that show. I go, there's no way. Yeah, well, she deleted all of the Instagram pics of her and Ross. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And she hasn't, that's her husband, ex-husband. And she hasn't talked about him. And I literally didn't give her the time of day. And then a couple other people weighed in. And then I did a little poking around. And I think the extent of what I did on this show was like I am now. Like, so this is going on, and I don't know, and I was very suspect of it. Well, then one day I dove all in with the headline on this live stream that said, is the FBHW show where marriages go to die? And that did it, because then fans of their show started posting about my show and tagging her. Like, Jesus Christ. This is why we can't have nice things. Just keep that down on the down low. I mean, hardly anybody listens. I was going to say not everybody. More like nobody listens to my show. So if we sit here and talk about stuff, it's kind of like just between us. It's like, you know, whatever. Well, she was on one of their market visits, and the poor thing is getting bombarded, and it fucks her all up. She reaches out to me, politely asks me to knock it off. And I said, you know, I can respect that. Yeah, I will. I will do that. She said, please don't speculate on blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to keep this hush hush. I go, hey, whatever. I get it. Fast forward to last night on her, she does a live show once a month. And she said, yeah, hey, it did come unglued. Now, I haven't sat down and I can't quote her on anything because I haven't listened to it. I will, but I haven't had a minute. From what it's written down, various spots, Reddit, and their Facebook fan page. Yeah, he left me and he moved out west. That's it. He left me and moved out west. No one said anything particular. From what I can tell, there wasn't anything sideways about it. Just her being honest and vulnerable and addressing that, yeah, shit went down. Now, a lesser pot stirrer would go, oh, well, all things must pass. Just let it go. However, I just wouldn't be doing my job now if I didn't stir the pot. Now that it's out in the open and one of the parties has voiced on a very public thing, what has happened? It would only make sense for a third party to reach out to the other member of that relationship and say, hey, here's what's going on. Do you have a response? Which I did. Of course I'm going to do that. Yes. So, that brief conversation, I just spoke with my man, and I go, look, I don't have a dog in the fight, but I do. I am interested in the story. This is what, he says, well, what did she say? I go, be honest with you, man, I haven't listened to it, but I'm going to. And, I definitely interested. He's definitely interested in hearing what happened. I think we really need to park, though, on the fact that that is now five goddamn divorces on that show in, I think Justin might have been the first one. No, Joe was the first one. Five. Count them, five divorces. Chris says, wait, is this her husband you were chatting with? Yes, ex-husband. I reached out to the other party. He's a prominent lawyer in town. So sure, I reached out to him. And when he called me back, I missed the call. So I called him. He picks it up. I said, hey, Ross. He says, yes. I go, this is EZ. He goes, oh, hey. I go, so here's what's up. And I spelled it out for him. The one thing that stood out to me is he goes, I don't listen to that shit. I never have. So what the fuck? And then EZ, the question is going to be asked, why? Why do you care? Look, assholes, let me explain this to you. It's the same reason why you dumb motherfuckers love the fact when your favorite celebrity is getting divorced, you love to find out what the fuck happened. And if Corndog Queen is going to be so bold as to talk about it on the radio, I think it's fair for the news media, me, to try to get the other side of that story. Jeremy adds, why does EZ care? Well, it's the only compelling thing on that show. Jeremy also adds, to your credit, EZ, once she asked you to stop speculating, you did. All the speculating from then on came from FBHW superfans. Exactly. And now Corndog Queen is out. She has said, I'm now divorced. He left me and went out west. And then that's it. Again, I have not listened. I'm going to. Ross will listen too. We will compare notes. I would like to get them both on the podcast at the same time. I don't think that would happen. I don't think she has any interest in being on my show. Why would she? But I am going to approach Ross with, I go, look, I'll get the audio. I'll send it your way. If she's going to go public with it, and if you want the opportunity, obviously it's up to you. I can't make you do anything. But this platform has been the place for FBHW exes. I have an open door policy to all exes of Free Beer and Hot Wings show members. Now, they've not all been on. In fact, only Hurricane Ashley has been on. And that was a spectacular moment. But I would love to have I could do my own radio show with just exes. Jeremy says she might want to come on with you to clear the air in an environment that isn't the Free Beer and Hot Wings show. But there is a 0% chance Greggy would ever let her do that. Well, I don't know. I don't think Greg has a say. If she wanted to do something, she could do it. By the way, I heard Greg refer on that show the other day that there is three producers. Are you telling me you are only paying her a producer's salary? That is sinful, in my opinion. When I left there, I made $460,000 in one fucking year. That's what she should be making right now. If you guys aren't paying her that money, you're fucking sick. That's a goddamn sin, in my opinion. Boy, that makes me sick. To think that that's what I was fucking earning. Oh my God, I'm fucking terrible. It's so disgusting. All right. So that is the latest. She went live with it last night. She went live with it today. She's out of the closet. She's single and ready to mingle. She's got a wide open, because she digs chicks and dudes. So there's that. Just like Hawk Tua said, Hawk Tua. She said the only way to get over one is to get under one. Kenny says that money that I made is all spent on running gear and hidden packs of smokes. Which, by the way, up north this past weekend, I could have used a dart or 10. There is nothing more spectacular than being in the wilderness, in the middle of that fucking silent jungle, with a fucking pack of Nupos, menthol. Oh my God. Queen of the Forest was with me though, so no can do. I tried. I wandered over in a charity scam Mike's trailer. And I like searched it up and down. I was like, God damn it, you gotta have a pack of smokes around here. What the fuck is wrong with you? Okay. So that is the beginning of this saga. Now where this goes, I don't know. Maybe nowhere. That's up to the players involved. Open door policy on this show. All people involved in marital issues on the Freeburn Hot Wing show have an open door policy. With the exception of Joe. I don't want Joe around here. But now I find it interesting and fucked up that fucking Freebeer, this guy talks so much shit about the amount of divorces on the Bob and Tom show. His show officially has more than twice the amount of divorces. What the fuck? All I'm telling you is there's two sides to every story. So beware. I have to share with you something that I meant to share last week or so. It is my Father's Day gift. As JT Surf says, whatever happened to Joe? Joe is living in the Bay Area of California, teaching people how to rock climb, from what I understand. What a fucking loser. Jeremy says, Greg used to talk shit about the Bob and Tom show in general, but they turned into the show that they claim to be. Ryan writes, as your legal advisor, I advise speaking about people named Joe in generalities. Tyler asks, is Joe still involved with his radio station that he owns? Remember, we found out through that PPP loan application that he's an owner of radio stations in Grand Haven, Michigan. All right. This is my Father's Day gift. I got, well, first of all, I got one of those Blackstone grills, which are just the shit. But this is even more spectacular. Look at this canvas. Okay. This is a classic picture I took in this studio when O'Neill, Bruce, and Darla were sitting in the chair. I think I could fucking market this and sell it. Taken with an iPhone in portrait mode. Absolutely fantastic. The only thing is, no Benny the One-Eyed Wonder Dog. But there you go. Bruce actually on top of O'Neill. Darla in the front. Jeremy says, I would buy that print and keep it in my record room. It's a fantastic picture. And now I've got it in canvas form. How great is that? Keep that nearby. Okay. Put an Eric Zane logo in the bottom and sell it as swag. Oh, yeah. All right. Welcome into the show. That concludes the gossip portion of FBHW Divorce News. I fully expect the usual suspects under their fake names on Reddit and whatever the fuck on Facebook, and drop the hammer on your old pal EZ. And look, to that, I say, in a business where people are dying for information, there is nothing wrong with me taking a news story of my favorite morning show, talking about it, and then digging deep like a true news hound would and getting the other side of that story. Not only is it interesting, but I hate those fuckers. All right? And you're goddamn right I'm going to do that. 10 out of 10 times, 100%, without a doubt. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. That's happening. So unapologetic about that. And I'm excited to get to the bottom of it. Because if Corndog Queen goes large and says, hey, this is what happened, I'm guessing the other side might have another angle of that story. I seriously doubt that the other side of that is going to go, yeah, she's right. That's all what happened. Now, part of me wants to say what my man said on the phone, because there's a couple things right away that I could easily just say right now that would make you go, whoa. But I said that what I said when I was talking to my man, Ross, that is the ex of Kelly Cheese. I said, this is all off the record. And I stand by that. Other than just we had a conversation. Pin Pusher says, EZ, would you divorce your wife and marry me? No. But you never know what the future would hold. Now, I prefer women. But I need to know if you're a chick or a dude. I'm not saying it's impossible for me to marry a dude. Like, it wouldn't happen. But 9.99999 times out of 10, I'm going to go chick. As you know, I've said this before, I am 8% gay. I am not afraid to say how attracted I am to various men. Like George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Anderson Cooper. Ryan says, big fraud, you know that I'm saving my 3% gayness for you. Well, I appreciate that. Again, that's all personal growth. There was a time when I was he who doth protest too much. Oh, my God. Oh, I hate you gays. Get all butthurt whenever. The time the guy at Meijer said I had a nice butt, and I was all offended. I actually went to the air and said, oh, my God, it's disgusting. It's so terrible. I secretly want dick. Mike in Western Massachusetts says, I thought it was 9%. It might even be more than that by now. I don't know. All right. Thank you very much for checking out the show on Facebook, X, and YouTube. But I'm going to cut you loose. If you want the rest of the show, you got to go on Twitch. That's where the show is uninterrupted. Twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Or download the Twitch app and search Eric Zane Live that way. What I'm saying right now becomes the audio podcast. So you can download it and listen to the audio podcast. Subscribe on whatever platform that you are on, and the show will show up every single day. Just search Eric Zane Show on your favorite audio platform. I have a Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane. So there you go. If you want to follow me on Patreon, patreon.com/Eric Zane, you can sign up for 7 days free for my content. The latest thing I've published has been, who are these free beers from last week with our old pal Ben Glaze? You can check that out for 7 days free. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. All right. For you folks on Facebook, X, and YouTube, I appreciate you being here, even if you're just here to get the fucking gossip, which is totally cool. I don't mind. Because that's, honestly, people love gossip. And this story just broke where Kelly, the only person worth a shit on the Freeburn Hot Wing show, way underpaid, came out and said, I am divorced. Long story short, he left me and went out west. Well, that got me thinking. There has to be another side to this. I reached out to our pal Ross, which is her ex-husband, struck up a conversation. I said, look, I don't have time to break it down right now. I'll talk to you after my show. He said, totally cool. That's good. This all hot on the heels after Kelly reached out to me a month and a half ago and said, please stop speculating. Okay. I appreciate you asking. I can honor that. Now that it's official, I am talking about it. So save your disgust, you assholes. All right. Thank you so much for checking out the show. Facebook and Twitch brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. X brought to you by Blue Frost IT. Follow me on those platforms as well as on my YouTube channel and Instagram. Thank you very much. If you want to say hello, send me an email, eric@ericzaneshow.com. I always like getting email, and I just don't get enough of them. I'm telling you, what used to be known as the lost art form of writing a handwritten note, the new lost art form is emails. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody gives a shit. All anybody wants to do is send a text. But anyway, you can reach out to me on the Shoreliner Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Chris says, speak for yourself. Let's see. About my gayness, Ryan says, the numbers can fluctuate on a minute-by-minute basis. If Eric Zane is not on my screen, I'm back at 0%, for example. That's true. Chris, Soccer King Chris writes, I blow up that Shoreliner's email inbox. By the way, what are the odds of the NPSL's Michigan Rangers making the playoffs? I need to know these things. I had more fun doing those fucking soccer games. God damn it, was that great. You know, I used to do the soccer games for that, what was the name of that fucking team in Grand Rapids? I think it was just called Grand Rapids FC. And I don't know. It seems like the NPSL games, I really enjoy them a hell of a lot more. I think that probably because Chris is in there with me and him and I are raising hell along with Colton Coltron. Always a good time. All right. Chris says, we'll know after games this weekend. The boys are away to Pittsburgh. Don't they suck? Pittsburgh? Anyway, a good time. The Michigan Rangers. So glad to be a part of their organization. All right. The open and live stream of today's gossip-filled shit show is brought to you by Blue Frost IT. Online at bluefrostit.com. If you have any tech issues or want to upgrade your setup, either at home or at work, Blue Frost IT, locally, number one for a reason. 616-285-50. That's 616-285-50. Or online at bluefrostit.com. When it comes to insurance, think about Frank Fuss. Frank is a licensed independent insurance agent slash broker. Now, he takes care of all types of insurance. But the two that I talk about the most are your health care and life insurance. And I think that of those two, life insurance, what do you call it? Health insurance is the thing everybody wants. It is attainable, even if your boss doesn't offer it for you. But life insurance is something that most people don't want to talk about or don't even consider. So I just signed up for a 30-year policy with Frank. Now, what this means is if I die in the next 30 years, Frank is going to come over to my house and he's going to hand my wife a benefit check for $250,000. It could have been more, but that's all I can afford right now. I bought a 30-year policy from Frank, set me back $160 a month. It'd be a lot cheaper if I was younger, but I'm in perfect health. So I got a super preferred policy. I'm sorry, preferred policy, not super preferred. And that put me in at $160 a month. You're like, Jesus Christ, Eric, that sounds like a lot. Well, not really, if you think about it. I mean, you blow that in fast food. And now I have the peace of mind of knowing that if anything happens to me, Pooh Bear, for the next 30 years, is locked in. Now, everybody's policy is different. Like for you young audience members, young family woman or a family man, and you should both get insurance, okay? Because you don't want the husband in the lurch. You don't want the wife in the lurch. Get some fucking life insurance. Don't fuck around with this. You never know when something south is going to go down, okay? Reach out to Frank today. Go to buyinsurancehere.com. BUYinsurancehere.com. Frank will help you out, and please mention me when you reach out to him. Speaking of relationships, I want to get into Kelly Stafford. Now everybody is killing her. Stephen A. Smith is really losing his mind over this. I think I need to get that. Stephen. How do you spell Stephen? A on Kelly Stafford. It might be a little long. I'll probably just have to read it. He's not happy with her because she was on a podcast and she was telling a fucking story about how when she was dating Matthew Stafford at Georgia, that there was one time when they broke up. Oh, hang on a second. I'm getting a call from Trump. Eric Zane Show podcast. Hi, who's this?
Big brother, this is President Trump. How are you? The favorite president's calling.
Yeah, it's been a while, Mr. President. How's it going?
was going pretty well. I actually wanted to talk to you. I think you have great advice. I think I want to come on your program on the Michigan Morning Show up there in the Northern Michigan, because we've got a great debate coming this week, Thursday, with the tremendous debate. Actually, I'm going to win it so big. You're going to see Biden and I, we're going face to face. You wouldn't believe it.
It's going to be
probably the best debate ever.
Well, I you're right about that. I don't know if I can get you on Q100 though, sir. I mean, they have a strict policy about politics on the radio.
Well, we've got to talk. We've got to talk to the Northern Michigan people. We could disguise it as like another kind of conversation, except it is totally, totally doable. Look, I've been doing a lot of prep work, and I know you've got elderly parents in these things, and so I'm looking for some advice, too, because I've been going to nursing homes in these places and arguing with dementia patients, trying to prep for the debate, and it's not going well because the kind of sick-minded, if you think about it. Do you have any advice for your old pal, Trump?
I wouldn't refer to elderly people as sick-minded. I mean, it is what it is, but I don't know if I would say that they're sick-minded. However, that probably isn't a bad way to train for your conversation with President Biden, is to talk to dementia patients, because I agree with you. He's fucked up.
Well, you know, I always have the best ideas, actually, Big Front, because I have the biggest plans, I think. So many people, they come up to me, they say, how do you think about these things, like going to the nursing home and stuff? I said, well, I've got to prep, you know. Years ago, when we did the Hillary Clinton debate, I prepped like you wouldn't believe. I prepped so great.
Right.
And then the first time I met with Biden, he was so bad.
Right.
He was terrible, actually. And then now he's even more gone. So I feel like I have to kind of get into the mindset of one of these dementia patients, you know, and their mind is all over the place. I was talking to a guy the other day. He farts and shit is literally pouring out of his asshole right in front of me. And my staff, they're going, this is disgusting. I said, this is exactly what we need to do. What we need to do.
So you would think then that the idea would be that Biden might actually shit his pants while he's out there.
Oh, I think I think he's always got a diaper on. It's because look at him. I mean, he's shitting every day. His eyes are barely open. It's terrible.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even know if he can really see if you think about it.
I don't deny that you will win this debate. It's going to be a complete embarrassment. I don't think you really need to even try that hard, frankly.
I thought about not debating, actually. You know, I didn't go into any of the Republican debates. I thought that was a total waste of time, and I was right there. But my staff says, I've got to do the Biden debate. I want to debate this loser because he's such a piece of trash. He's got the witch hunt. He put me in the trial like you wouldn't believe. And look at his son. Look at his little son not doing so great in the courts, is he? And there's going to be so much more of that once I'm president. You're going to see it's going to be probably the biggest witch hunt maybe ever. And I thought I was the most persecuted person maybe ever.
Well,
but we're
going to
go so big on Biden. Okay. We're going to destroy him and everything that he knows.
Now, I, of course, have told you that there's no way in hell I'm going to vote for you, but you are going to win. I mean, I would be shocked if Biden somehow won this thing, President Trump.
There's no way he's going to win. I mean, look at what they've done to the economy. It's crazy. Americans can't afford simple things. Look at gas prices when I was president. And look at them today. It's crazy. And the crazy things, I mean, electric cars are totally failing. They're totally failing, and he's gotten behind them. We don't know why, because they're actually not that good of a vehicle. It's gas is where it's at. I've said it for so long.
Yes.
We got to drill oil. And look at roast beef prices. I mean, they're all over the place. In New York, this family, and they couldn't even afford roast beef at the supermarket. Terrible. Actually, terrible what's gone on, Big Fraud. It's terrible what the country has become, and we can make it so great again together.
Well, Mr. President, there is no question about roast beef prices being high. It's a total mess. I don't know if gas has anything to do with the presidency, but whatever. At this point, I don't even give a shit, honestly, because
we can totally drill. We can drill so much oil, Big Fraud. We could make entire states produce oil like you wouldn't believe. We could make oil. We could be the richest economy in the world, the richest place I've said it so long. We just have to drill. We have to frack the fuck out of it.
Frack it.
We have to destroy the world, Big Fraud.
Exactly.
We could be so rich.
I'm with you. It is. You know what? I'm coming around. It's time to fuck shit up.
Let's totally fuck it up. Let's create wars. Let's do things. Let's make oil. You wouldn't believe it. Roast beef prices will be so cheap.
That all right.
Poor little family, that family of four in New York, there's four people who went into, I don't know, a supermarket, maybe Arby's, we don't know. They couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford it. A simple roast beef sandwich. I mean, we're talking about something as basic as a hamburger, really.
Right, exactly.
And it's terrible what has happened to our great country, Big Fraud.
Mr. President, I always appreciate you calling. I'm still waiting to hear from President Biden, but this is so cool that you just drop in and say hello. At the end of the day,
Garza, you know, Biden, he doesn't even know. He would never know you even existed.
No. I am so sick.
Because he's shitting himself right now in the White House. What a terrible thing that's happened to our country.
We've got a man
sitting in there shitting in his little diaper, and he's done such terrible things, Big Fraud. Go fuck yourself. And listen, I'm going to do probably the best debate ever on Thursday. If you want to talk about it on Friday, you know who to call, because I'm going to win probably bigger than anyone.
I appreciate it, sir. I appreciate it. And thank you for telling me to go fuck myself. Oh, fuck. Bob with a great question late. Mr. Trump, would you consider a cabinet position for the Hawk to a girl? Oh, my God, yes. I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. I'm talking about Kelly Stafford. By the way, look at those two dogs. I'm surrounded by cuteness. You got Darla and Bruce right there.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay. Let's get into this Kelly Stafford clip. She was on a podcast talking about Matt Stafford, what she did to make Matt Stafford jealous. And everybody just hates her over this.
To casually date, and you were all in?
Oh, yeah, girl. Anything.
Oh, I know why. Gotta do this every time.
Anyways, long story short, it wasn't that cute of a relationship at first. I hated him. I loved him. I dated the backup to piss him off, which worked.
Oh, yes.
He was like,
that'll do it.
He was the bad boy, too. Like, Matthew's so sweet and southern gentleman and all that stuff. And the backup was the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, and it upset him. So they lived in the same dorm because athletes lived in the same dorm, and he would see my car there. And so at one point he like waited and followed me out and got in my car and wouldn't get out.
Stop.
And he was
like, this is so hot.
I was like, this is amazing. It's working.
Yeah.
I was like, get out of my car. And
she said, this is amazing. It's working.
He was like, he's not right for you. And I was like, what? You can't tell me that.
Wait, so was he trying to casually date and you were all in?
Oh yeah, girl. Anyways, long story.
Okay. So she told that story and that's it. To me, that's a tale as old as time.
Sure, it wasn't that cute of a relationship at first. I hated him.
I think they show a picture of
him. I dated the backup to piss him.
Look at that guy. He's a redhead. A shaved head redhead. God damn. He looks like one of the fucking Morlocks from the X-Men. You know that guy's got a abnormally pink penis too. If I'm Matthew Stafford, I'm like, Jesus Christ, you can't date that guy simply because of his abnormally pink penis. But anyway, people are letting her have it. I don't know. I don't really think that that's that big of a deal. A lot of blowback coming to the way of, and I'm not even the biggest fan of her, you know. But I don't think that this is the problem. Who gives a shit? I love Stephen A. Smith is like, oh my God, it's fucking terrible. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she, maybe her and Matthew joke about it all the fucking time. Maybe he doesn't give a shit. If Matthew Stafford doesn't come out and say something, why is everybody else talking on his fucking behalf? Stephen A. Smith questioned Kelly Stafford. Quote, how is that y'all know that men have egos and males are ego dominant? Huh? But you forget that when it comes to your own man, what could possibly make you, if you are Mrs. Stafford, what could possibly make you think that it is okay for you to go home after revealing to the public, I kicked it with his backup? Well, who gives a fuck? Why are you so upset about this? What possible advantage could you peel from that with a husband of yours who you have four kids with? Well, it's an interesting story. To me, Kelly Stafford, I have a newfound respect for Kelly Stafford. If she goes and reveals that great fucking story, which was great, and she did a good job telling it, that was a fun conversation to listen to. That's why, Stephen A., how can you possibly ask the question, how could you? Because it's interesting. Why else would someone talk about it? He adds, I met the woman once. She's a nice lady. I'm not casting any aspersions on her character or anything like that. Well, yeah, you are. You really did. I would never disrespect Matthew Stafford's wife. You just did, asshole. Or anybody else's wife. I would. But not in this case. But I'm just making a point. What would make you think that's okay? Why would you do that? Well, idiot, you probably don't know anything about the relationship. You have no idea. Who gives a shit? You know who knows the most about the relationship between Matthew Stafford and Mrs. Stafford? Probably Mr. and Mrs. Stafford. I'm guessing on her podcast, she talks about things that she wants to talk about. And if there's ever anything that needs to be discussed, Matthew Stafford would probably discuss it with her. I doubt he'd rush over and say, oh, my God. So I'm pretty sure that Kelly Stafford knows what she's doing. My God. So they were both quarterbacks, but they were also roommates, according to Kelly Stafford. Oh, my God. Well, she has to tell that fucking story. You're dating Matthew Stafford, the starting quarterback of Georgia football, and there's a falling out. So you start to date the backup, which is the roommate. Oh, shit. That is fucking awesome. Oh, man. Let's see. There's all sorts of discussions about who that backup is. I think it was the ginger. No, I'm all about it. And I've had time to think about it because right away I saw that Stephen A. was pissed off. And, oh, my God, it was fucking terrible. It's like, well, wait a second here. So then I saw what she said and I listened to it. And I went, okay, maybe not. Think about it a little longer. And then I finally said, what the fuck does he care? Chris says Stafford is chill. Remember when he just walked away after that girl fell off the stage at the Super Bowl party? Oh, shit. Everybody hated him for that. I don't know if that means he's chill. Uh, Jeremy says, Kelly Stafford is the prime example of not everybody needs a microphone. I disagree. Kelly Stafford should be in front of a microphone. She'll talk about anything. Rebecca says, I cannot stand Stephen A. Smith. I like him too. I don't hate him. I think he's wrong in this case. Quit being a bitch. I don't think I really hate anybody except Greg. Kenny writes, missed opportunity for an Eiffel Tower. Cole says, prime example of not needing a microphone is Steve. Yeah, well, that's a Freeburn Hot Wings show trait. If you are working on the show, you get a microphone. They could hire someone who's a mute, and they would give that person a microphone. DJ Plunkett. What is that? Which guy is that? Did my daughter's wedding. It was a DJ at my, is it Nick? At my daughter's wedding. I think it's Nick. Isn't it Nick? I ask this every goddamn time. Says that Trump, our guy, sounds just like Trump. Well, that's because it was. Ashley, Hurricane Ashley is here for the first time in a while. She says, nobody liked it when I was Hawktua girl my entire life, and now she's famous. Ryan adds, I'm confident you would be as viral as Hawktua if you find yourself a street-side reporter and just start talking. And she says, that's fair. I don't agree with that. Okay. Chris says, don't get her fired again, EZ. Yeah, she tried that shit once, saying that I got her fired for saying her name. It's like, shut up. It would not be the same if you encountered a street side reporter. It would be different because you're old and gross. Yeah, who wants to hear bag-faced 40-year-old talk like that? Go back two decades and maybe. That's coming from your older brother, which is what I can equate myself to be. It's like a brother-sister relationship. Ashley says, I would need a job to get fired, Chris. You know, why don't you go and wait on tables at Bosco's? Why don't you apply for a job there? I take it back. You wouldn't last. You'd get into a fight with Doug, who, by the way, yesterday, talk about a crabby son of a bitch. Oh, my God. I was on the top of my game, as usual. But he was pissed off about something else, unrelated to me. And this is a classic, because he's such a simpleton, he gets pissed off at me. I mean, at someone else or something else, and then takes it out on me. And we're kind of in a rush. It was a pretty decent rush. So I got to keep moving, doing my best to keep things going. And another couple of tickets roll in while we're in the middle of working on an order. And Chris says folding those wraps will be the death of him. Oh, and by the way, he stinks at it. I'm great at rolling a wrap. He wraps it and then he cuts it and then puts it on the plate and all the shit in the wrap falls out of the wrap. It becomes a salad. A couple more tickets come in. I go, All right. Let me know when you want to go with these. Typically, when we're in a spot where we're buttoning up one order and other ones come in, you just hang the ticket and wait until it's time. So I was just letting him know. To me, it's all about communication. I go, these just came in. Let me know when you want to go with these. Now, what I mean by that is go on with the burgers because he's in charge of putting the burgers on the grill. And then I'm doing all the other shit to get that food out. Let me know. Hang on. Hang on. Wait. And I'm like, you fuck. I'm just telling you that I'm communicating to you that another one came in. Let me know when you're ready. I'll follow your lead. And I don't have the energy, and I'm frankly frightened to death of going, okay, don't freak out. Quit overreacting. I don't want to even waste the breath of lecturing him. Because there's a pretty good chance he might end my fucking life. Jesus Christ. Anyway, it finally ends. And I'm like, all right, thank God. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I can't handle it. Tyler says, easy, basically working at Hell's Kitchen. Oh, my God. I would love to see Gordon Ramsay show up there because he'd be dead. You know, he's kind of like a bull in a china shop, Gordon Ramsay. Oh, Doug would beat the shit out of him. I try to tell this every time I talk about Doug. All right, he got hit with an axe. Not an axe, a hatchet. Like the business end of a hatchet. He's been stabbed more than once. He's been shot. Oh, he's been to hell and back, and he's an ass kicker. He's as big as a fucking house. He'll end your life in a second. Joe Stinkpot says, I just left King's room. My hair looks better than Burn King's and almost as good as Eric's. I got to get there too. Which one did you go to? I think I'm going to go to the one in Wyoming. All right. Your old pal EZ has to go tinkle. Chris says, you still got that clip of him falling off the chair? No. That's Doug E. Not Doug. Doug E is his son. Doug is Big Doug. He's the dad. I know that's been confusing to more than one person. Kenny's lost. He's like, I'm confused. I don't know what's going on, Chris, Doug. What's up? Okay. I'll be back in a second. Stand by. Cool. The pain medication is starting to wear off. The latest EZ malady. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, but I have got to learn to understand that I am getting old. I need to recognize my limits. I mentioned it yesterday, that fucking car dolly. It's not easy to roll up a hill. But there I am, dragging that fucking thing. And then it wasn't until like 10 hours later, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm sound asleep. And I'm like, I feel like a beached whale with his organs collapsing in on himself. So bad. It's tough to breathe. And now I got the urge to do it. Hopefully by the time the vacation starts, I'll be feeling better. But what a pain in the ass it is. All right. Dear Meathead tomorrow on the show. Looking forward to talking with Dad and Joanne. Always a lively and fun conversation. If you have any questions for Dad, you can leave them eric@ericzancho.com. He pretty much is to a point now with his memory where unless you talk to him on a regular basis, he will not remember you. Poor man's brain is being erased. I found this out that he can't read anymore. And it never really occurred to me, but the letters don't mean anything to him. That's unbelievable to me. How can that? The brain is so fucking weird. Poor guy, but he can still talk. He can still formulate sentences. And he likes the company. And just as long as we keep it lively and he's having a good time and he doesn't feel, you know, embarrassed or anything, we'll keep doing it. But I've been talking about this for some time that I think there's a finite number of episodes that we will be doing with Dad for Dear Meathead. You know, I still want those two to move in with me. I actually have a plan. What I want to do is I want to encourage my brothers and sisters that we rotate them every couple of months. I don't know, a quarter, every 3 months. And get them out of that house. Maintaining a home is work. Joanne's out there fucking cutting the lawn. She goes, oh, I like doing that. I go, oh, okay, good. Well, you can cut mine. But I would love them to be with family. And I think I can get everybody on board. If they want to do, they could stay here permanently. I don't care. All I need very little. Pretty much there's portions of my house I don't even go into. And they could have them. They could have that. Chris says everyone involved would love that. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not. But yeah, I would have the first thing I would do is install one of those escalators. It's like a seat, and you put it on your wall, and you just sit down and take you up the stairs and down the stairs. And I'd have two of them going all the way up, all the way back down. They can have the whole basement. There's a goddamn kitchen down there. They can have the kitchen. It goes. They got a full bath, a kitchen, a dining room, and a living room. I'd deck it out. It would be so great. I would love that. Chris says, no, I'm serious. Family would love having them around, and they would enjoy going to different places every few months. I think I need to start putting the gas pedal down on this. Combined ages of 178 years old. Bob says it's a nice thought, but might it not actually be the best thing. Sudden change to routine and surroundings can make things worse, which is why, yeah, but look, you got to understand, I need to sell these people on it. All right. So just continue to have these conversations that will allow them to wrap their minds around a little more, painting a picture of what their days would be like. This is what your day would be like. You get up, you have coffee, you watch TV, you go for a walk. We go out to, you sit by the fucking pool. You go in the hot tub. It's a goddamn hotel here. You go up north with us. We can eat dinner together. You got dogs running around. You can chit chat with the NFK. My dad and the NFK could race, like for money. We could have a betting line on the NFK against my dad in a fucking foot race. Jeremy suggests it has to be their idea. They must not know you own your own hot tub or this wouldn't even be a discussion. Jeremy adds, cannot force them, but plant the seeds and make them decide on their own. Oh, yeah, way ahead of you, man. I don't like the idea of them out in the wild, walking around, driving. And I don't know. Just seems a bit much to me. A bit much for them to handle. And I encourage you, if you have elderly parents, to do something like this, to consider taking care of the old folks in the back half of their life. And none of this put them in a home bullshit. You do it. Temporary. I don't give a fuck if you have to quit your job. Figure the fucking shit out. You can figure that out. And it's temporary. These people aren't going to live forever. I can't think of anything more sad than having family around doing their thing, and then the old folks are in like a home with strangers that they don't know. That breaks my heart. That's what Wally is going through right now. My mother's husband. And so I'm like, well, come on, guys. Somebody step up. Bring him in. He's fucking blind, for God's sake. Take care of him. Jesus. Michael Richards is back. I've been seeing him, his name pop up more and more for some reason. I think this is what he's doing is he's slowly but surely putting his feet back in the water, trying to stage a comeback. So he has a book out. He's doing an apology tour again. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the first one stuck. Yeah, that horrible moment after, okay, he did the rant at the comedy club. I'll link it up in the show notes. I don't want to play it. And then, like, a day later, he shows up on the Letterman show with Jerry. And it was way awkward. The story hadn't percolated enough for them to, I don't know, it's just the weirdest goddamn thing ever. I don't know if he's been heard from since, frankly. I don't know if there's any coming back from that. I mean, there have been people who have come back from the N-word. Kyle Larson, the NASCAR driver. He came back. He was successful at it. He casually said N-word hard R while doing online video games. That's what the thing during COVID, you know, he's doing like a racing game with fans. He's like, hey, buddy, are you there? Hey, N-word hard R. It goes out for the world to hear. It's like, oh, no. Goes on an apology tour and then goes away for extended time, comes back. He's good to go. Morgan Wallen, he's caught on the Ring doorbell cam referring to one of his friends as the N-word hard R. He's in trouble. He gets banned from country music. He comes back. No problem. I think he's in trouble again because he threw a goddamn chair off a roof of one of the clubs in Nashville. You can come back from N-word hard R. But Michael Richards was different. It wasn't like a just a casual saying of it. I would say of all those, Larson's was the least problematic. What do you call it? Morgan Wallen definitely shouldn't have said it, but it wasn't like rage-filled directed at black people, which is what Michael Richards was. It was rage-filled directed at black people. N-word, hard R, screaming it at the top of his lungs. But he's trying to come back. Richard said, or Mazen Blue says, Richards meant it. Yeah, it was, that's the vibe I got too. Cole says, you better just play the video. I don't want to play his video. I'm not playing that again. This is Hoda Kotb interviewing Michael Richards. This is from just a couple of weeks ago.
Almost two decades, Richards has been out of the spotlight until today. He's releasing his brand new memoir. It's fittingly called Entrances and Exits. This is his first live television interview in many, many years. Michael Richards, good morning.
Good morning.
No, we're feeling a little nervous this morning, and that's understandable, your first live interview. We haven't seen you in many, many...
It's been a while since you said the N-word.
...years, and you're out now with a book. And we should just get this part, I think, out of the way,
okay,
because the reason that you have been out of the spotlight was because of something that happened back in 2000.
Look at him. Look, he's like, I wish this wasn't happening to me. He's like, I knew this was going to be the thing.
And it happened at a comedy club, mm-hmm. and they called it a big racist rant, which it was,
yes.
And you sort of disappeared from that point on. So I know you've done a lot of work since then. How are you different today than you were on that day?
Oh, done a lot of work. What do you mean? Now, if I did what he did, I'm not doing any work, okay? And I'm not acting like the way he's going to act. He should probably just go on here and say, well, here's what happened. There was a black guy there, and I called him the N-word with a hard R because, and that's what he is. That's what Michael Richards should say because that's the way he feels. I don't feel that way, just to be clear. He feels that way. So anything coming out of his mouth here is a goddamn lie, in my opinion.
Well, the difference, probably more aware.
Probably more broke. You mean to tell me you weren't aware back then that calling a black guy an N-word with a hard R is a problem? You see, this is already fucked. Oh, I'm more aware.
How are you different today than you were on that day?
Oh, the difference. Probably more aware of myself. Anger. Looking at it very closely. It's something that's always with us, certainly with me. Not as horrible as it was 18 years ago. Anger had a hold of me. And I
love my anger. Some of the best things I've ever done creatively has been while angry. So quit bad-mouthing anger, all right? You're an idiot. That's all this is.
I canceled myself out.
Oh, my God. No. Everybody canceled you. You didn't. I mean, you said it, okay? But you're suggesting that you did this on your own like you meant to do it.
You canceled yourself.
Take an exodus.
Yeah.
Get away from show business and see what the heck is going on inside me.
Yeah.
Like you had a choice, you piece of shit. You were ranting and raving like a lunatic.
To have been so despicable that night.
Yeah.
Losing my cool.
Yeah.
And hurting.
He's the king of just one words. Yeah. Anger. Hurting. Anger. Hurting.
Did you make amends?
Amends. Anger. N-word, hard R.
Do all the things that, you know, did you feel like you said you were sorry and you did all the things that you should have done?
I think so.
Yeah.
Certainly getting to a place where I could forgive myself because I have to move on to be true blue about that.
That was a very...
This is painful.
Critical moment in your life. And another critical moment happened in 2018 when you were diagnosed with cancer. And I feel like there are certain moments in our lives that just snap our world into focus. It's like, I have a beginning and an end now. So I'm going to figure out how I'm going to live these lives. How did that diagnosis change you?
You know, I thought I was going to go, really. I'd given into that. And then I found out that if we move fast enough, you know, we could get at the cancer. And I had a great surgeon, a Dr. Bowie at Cedars-Sinai there in Los Angeles.
Did he remove your racist views? And,
oh,
sorry.
Oh, my. I made it.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
I beat it. And that certainly motivated me to.
It's like he's Kramer all the time. What an awkward fuck this guy is.
Get at the book because I went through a big review of my life.
Isn't that interesting when we do that?
Yeah.
You know, when we decide to kind of sift through all the stuff and see what's there.
Yeah.
You know, most people, when they see you on TV, they remember you as Kramer and busting through the door and, you know, doing what you did. I found it totally surprising that you never watched the show and you never watched your performance up until a couple of years ago. So how come?
Oh, I used to in the very beginning, but I would just see how I could make it better.
Oh, so you're like too critical.
Okay, I can't take this anymore. I'm halfway through this. And I feel like if I were to, all these alarms are going off in my head about this being a horrible interview. This is one of the worst things I've watched in a long, long time. He's worth $70 million. He definitely has a hot tub. Just use it and disappear. The quote, anger is always with us. Maybe, but I've never been so angry that I felt the need to call someone an N-word hard R, says Jeremy. He adds, quote, forgive myself. I'm glad you're able to forgive yourself, a white dude, for using N-word hard R. How brave of you. Tyler says, after his cancer diagnosis, he probably thought, yes, people can't possibly hate me now because I have cancer. Bob says he didn't watch it because the show sucked. You know, I've never once sat down and watched an entire episode of Seinfeld from beginning to end. I've only seen clips over the years, and I've found them funny. I've never watched Friends either. Not a one. Piano Finger Banger says we need to consult the NFK on this one. Yeah, he uses that word from time to time. Except it's even worse. Like, there'd be a guy on TV for the Tigers who strikes out. And he'll call him that nasty word. And I'm like, dude, we can't do that. You can think it, but we can't be saying that. Ugh, I will never forget that moment at the nature exhibit. We don't go out much anymore. Yellow sweatshirt on his shoulder. We're in the middle of the Hartwick Pines nature exhibit, right by the old growth forest. This is like a log cabin display that the state built so you can go see these dioramas of various, woodland creatures. Oh, there's the fox. There's the black bear. You can see these in northern Michigan forest. Ooh, here's some turkeys. He's just standing there looking around and true to usually the people that are there. Like, you have families, tourists. Looking at the shit. It's like a little mini nature museum. A couple of Cub Scout troops. A lot of kids are just loving it, man. Push the button. Hear the noise that the peacock makes. Push the button. This is what the river otter sounds like when it's mating. Push the button. Fuck you, you N-word hard R. The sweatshirt fell off of his shoulder while bending down to pick it up. He gave it the finger as it's laying on the floor and said, fuck you, N-word hard R. Oh, the room got so goddamn quiet. And I'm like, oh. I put my arm around him. I go, dude, we got to go. We got to go. We got to get out of here. We get in the car. I go, buddy, that you just ruined everybody's day there. Not to mention, if anybody happens to recognize me, I mean, Jesus Christ, this is a big deal. Rebecca says, whatever happened to the Kent Trails, asshole? I don't think I heard the conclusion. Way ahead of you. I reached out to the lovely lady who is the husband of the guy who got smacked by the Kent Trails asshole. Kent Trails bike asshole. June 20th, I wrote, "Hello, Tara. Any word about what is going to happen to that jerk?" She writes, "Nope, a whole lot of waiting. Last we heard, the local prosecutor was reviewing the case." I said, "I hope they don't let this slide. I wonder if he has influence." She adds, "They called us early last week to confirm we wanted to press charges and ask if we had anything else to provide. And my husband gave his report from urgent care the day after, and his chiropractor, who noticed he had recent head trauma, but nothing since." It shouldn't take this long. That's fucked. All right. Anyway, Michael Richards, fuck him. This guy's an idiot. And that was an embarrassing interview, frankly. All right. Let me check the emails, see if we have anything in the Shortliner Striping inbox to get to. I got a new follower on Twitch. Thank you, JQuill17. I appreciate that. There is some celestial excitement in the works. In September, there is a star that's going to go nova. Not supernova, but nova. What is that? Well, it's not as big as a supernova. What are we talking about? Well, there's this called a binary star system. So you look up, I forget what constellation. I'll know more about it when we get close to it. But the experts are saying in September, this star, which is already a white dwarf, which means it's dead, will like essentially burp out star mass. Okay? And when it does that, the dwarf, which used to be like our star, our sun, but much older or dead, is going to burp out a bunch of plasma and energy and fucking radioactive elements and shit, and on a gigantic scale. And the star next to it is going to capture it. So it's going to be like a big fucking loop of semen, star semen, shooting out of one star and go into the other one because it's so close. There's like a gravitational pull from the big star that's still active and the one that's going to go nova. They like orbit together. So you'll be able to see it with a naked eye. Ultimately, that is what is going to happen to our star, our sun. Eventually, it's going to run out of fuel and start to puff up and become what's known as a red giant. It'll vaporize Mercury and Venus when it does that. Not known if it'll consume the Earth. Eventually, it'll like implode on itself and become like a white dwarf, like I was just telling you about. You don't have to worry, though, because that's not till 5 or 6 billion years old. Well, 5 or 6 billion years from now. The universe is about 16 to 18 billion years old. Think about that. It boggles my mind. Patrick says, "Sorry about the story I sent you about the sun being the strawberry moon. I forgot it was last Friday. Don't even worry about it. I'm just glad you're contributing." If you folks ever want to contribute to this podcast, you can help me out by sending me a story link. Eric@ericzaneshow.com on the Shoreliner Striping inbox. I appreciate that. I'm limited today on what I have to talk about. So I'm going to announce to you my last two sponsors, and then we are going to award the asshole of the day. If you have any suggestions, I'd be happy to hear what you have for possible award winners. And let's do a hero of the day as well. Asshole of the day, hero of the day. And it doesn't even have to be somebody I've talked about. Buy now, refinance later with the Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. The latest believers in that, Jackie and Justin. My daughter and my son-in-law. Now, this is the next step in life because they were married like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago in November. And I know going into this that the plan is buy a house and then start planning for babies, God willing. So I'm pretty stoked about this. And I'm happy that Mario is making their dreams come true. Buy now, refinance later. The Mario Flores Lakeshore team of Van Dyke Mortgage. 231-332-6505. 231-332-6505. Call today and mention EZ. Finally, Berlin Raceway has racing this weekend. They took the week off yesterday or last week for the Berlin Fair. Online at berlinraceway.com. Get your tickets. They are $14, 15 and under free. Parking is free. Bring in a cooler 12 by 18 or smaller with all of your soft drinks and snacks. You can bring a 5-course meal. I don't care. As long as you have no glass and no alcohol. BerlinRaceway.com. They have beer there. They're only $6 a pop. That's pretty cheap. Which, by the way, that Meijer LPGA Classic to benefit Simply Give a couple weekends ago, the concession stand prices were unbelievably cheap. I think a beer was $3. They really do a great job over there. Thank you to Berlin Raceway. Online at BerlinRaceway.com. Bob says, asshole of the day, Mr. Kelly Cheese. Hero of the day, Kelly Cheese. Now, look, I can't take sides in that. Why do we want to say anybody in that is an asshole or a hero? I don't understand that. You haven't heard anything from anyone. You're showing your age. I think you're in your 30s. And that's a very millennial thing to do. It might be fair to hear what the other party has to say, Bob. You dumb piece of shit. Cole says Kelly Stafford or Matt Stafford's wife is the asshole of the day. Joe Martinez is going with the asshole who cut in front of him and fucked up his truck. I'm just glad you're okay. Hero of the day, whoever got you that sweet picture of the dogs on the canvas, that would be Pooh Bear. Cole says, hero of the day, Eric Zane, for getting to the bottom of why Mr. Cheese flew the coop. By the way, his name is Ross Plant. He's a terrific local lawyer. I don't think either of those people are going to win any awards. Asshole of the Day is brought to you by TC Paintball. Eighteen years later, the asshole of the day is Michael Richards. Fuck that guy. Your hero of the day is your old pal, EZ. I like that idea. For getting to the bottom of why Mr. Cheese left. Fair and balanced is what I am. We all know that. Okay, thank you for being here on this show today. As always, you've been a fantastic audience. I'll be back tomorrow with the free podcast. And if you want more podcasting today, it's on Patreon. Patreon.com/Eric Zane. Till then, have a good one, folks. Thank you and bye-bye.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.